Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
He played
And famous, one of his last movies was about the drug trafficking in Iran, Iraq. The Poppy is also a Flower with E.G. Marshall, who also played that in that CBS or 60s TV series called The Defenders with Robert Reed, who later died of AIDS. And E.G. Marshall made his fascinating guy, a case which I had to research about a young man, 19-year-old man, who just newly married in Chicago's, he lived in Chicago's Wicker Park, which is now a yuppie area. Anyway, he was accused of murdering a cop, and it's a famous movie starring Jimmy Stewart, who played the great and real journalist, and about a Polish immigrant mother who scrubbed floors for 10 years in downtown buildings like the Chicago Tribune to get $5,000 to have an investigator look into the railroading of her son into state prison. It was called Call Northside 777. Great movie. And the reason it has an interesting connection is because my speech teacher, Professor Dolly Thornstrom at Wright College and Northwestern University, she did some work on that film or the script or something. I forgot which. But anyway, and also from in Wicker Park, this woman was born there, Marilyn Kim Novak. And when I was a student of Dolly Thornstrom, I had four speech classes with her, and I used to sit in the same seat that Kim Novak sat in. And she, Professor Thornstrom used to razz me about I was lazy, and I had her for four classes. She started, my first grade was a D, I didn't like it. The second grade was a C, didn't like that. Third grade was a B, and I didn't like that. And then I got mad at her, and I said, if you don't give me an A, I'll kill you. So she said, you were an A student all along, I knew it, but you were lazy. Kim Novak didn't make many films, but she lives here in California, and after she divorced Richard Johnson in the film, they were in the film Moll Flanders, Daniel Defoe wrote the book, she married a veterinarian, and she's the only one who's allowed to bring in llamas, and she lives in Central California. I've been unable to contact her. Maybe we're reminiscent about our favorite teacher. Among the other Burts today, E.B. White, who wrote the famous book with Strunk called The Elements of Writing, and I always refer to it all the time. let's see, what other person was born today? Herbert Blomstedt, who was a conductor, was born in Massachusetts. He was a member of some strange religion which doesn't drink alcohol. I guess he joins the Mormons and some of the Islamists. And then the great bass baritone German, Hermann Prey, was born today. And then Tab Hunter was born today. Now, Tab Hunter was this blonde male bombshell who was caught in a homosexual scandal in Hollywood. It was all over the tabloids at the time, and it killed his marketability in Hollywood because they were still, they were homophobic. And there's a lot of people in the closet. Incidentally, in the Gone with the Wind film, what's significant about it was also today, Sir Laurence Olivier died, and he was on the film set with Vivien Leigh, who by accident got the part, and the director who was going to direct the film was George Cukor, C-U-K-O-R, a Jewish immigrant from Hungary, who was gay. And Clark Gable, apparently there was something between the two, and he rejected working with George Cukor. There was a claim that there was a sexual contact. It's an allegation. Anyway, they decided, Mankiewicz and MGM decided to get a new director, Victor Fleming. And then Thomas Mitchell came in as the father with his Irish brogue. And we do have a clip from our audio archives, but for some reason I can't find it. And so this is the interesting contact on this day. And, of course, Margaret Mitchell, the Southern writer, that was her only book that she wrote. Now, there's another sequel to Gone with the Wind, and I haven't had a chance to review it yet. We'll get into that another day. Among the deaths today was Alexander Hamilton, who was shot in that duel with Aaron Burr. Now, the gays, political propagandists have depicted Alexander Hamilton, who was the first Secretary of Treasury, was a Scottish, poor Scottish immigrant or I think indentured servant, ran away, and he served with George Washington, and he put our currency on its put our money system on its foundation. Anyway, he got into it with Aaron Burr, who was involved in some very sleazy deals with trying to carve up part of the United States for himself and set himself up as dictator. Well, they got into a duel, and Alexander Hamilton was killed in that duel. Also today is George Gershwin. He died today. He lived a very short time. He was part of what they call the Jewish musicians who played in Tin Pan Alley and played the piano with these music companies. And he went to Paris to study with Nadia Boulanger. The Boulanger sisters were famous, very famous teachers who taught a lot of Americans like Aaron Copland, who was actually, his name was Kaplan, he was also gay. We don't know about Gershwin. Then George Antheil, and was part of that immigration, cultural immigration of Americans like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Hemingway, who went to France after World War One, the Lost Generation, they were called. I'm trying to find out what happened to my thing here. We had the audio clips, and I just don't know what the heck happened here. Oh, here we go. Sorry about that. Here we go. Here we go. Thomas Mitchell, this is his famous statement, and it's very relevant today because they talk in this clip, he talks about the importance of land, and we know today that real estate is in the tank, and there's a lot of real estate speculation out there. So here's that clip.
There's none of the county can touch you and none of the state.
Well,
Katie Scarlett O'Hara. So, you've been spying on me. And like your sister Sue Ellen, you've been telling your mother on me that I was jumping again.
Oh, boy, you know I'm no tattletale like Sue Ellen. But it does seem to me that after you broke your knee last year jumping that same fence...
I'll not have my own daughter telling me what I shall jump and not jump. It's my own neck, so it is.
All right, Paul, you jump what you please. Pa, they're all over trouble.
The Wilkses? Darn the stew you'd expect with the barbecue tomorrow and talking nothing but war.
Come out of the war. Was there anyone else there?
Oh, their cousin Melanie Hamilton from Atlanta and her brother Charles.
Melanie Hamilton. The pale-faced, mealy-mouthed Minion. I hate her.
Ashley Wilkes doesn't think so.
Ashley Wilkes couldn't like anyone like her.
What's your interest in Ashley and Miss Melanie?
It's nothing. Let's go into the house, Paul.
Has he been trifling with you? Has he asked you to marry him?
No.
No, nor will he. I had it in strictest confidence from John Wilkes this afternoon. Ashley's going to marry Miss Melanie. It'll be announced tomorrow night at the ball.
I don't believe it.
Here, what are you off to? Scarlett! What are you about?
Have you been making a spectacle of yourself running about after a man who's not in love with you when you might have any of the bucks in the county?
I haven't been running after him. It's a surprise, that's all.
Now, don't be jerking your chin at me. If Ashley wanted to marry you, could be with misgivings, I'd say yes. I want my girl to be happy. Can you not be happy with him?
I would.
But what difference does it make who you marry, so long as he's a southerner and thinks like you? And when I'm gone, I leave Tara to you.
I don't want Tara. Plantations don't mean anything when...
Do you mean to tell me, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, that Tara, that land doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for. We're fighting for, we're dying for, because it's the only thing that lasts.
Oh, Paul, you talk like an Irishman.
It's proud I am that I'm Irish. And don't you be forgetting, Missy, that you're half Irish, too. And to anyone with a drop of Irish blood in them, why, the land they live on is like their mother.
There's none of the county can touch you and none of the state.
Okay, we won't do an encore on that. Now, what's important also about the Irish... a lot of them who were slave owners in the South and before the Civil War broke out, they were Catholic, and they brought their slaves into the religion. After the breakup of the plantations and when the South lost the Civil War, the blacks had no one to look to, no priests, bishops. So they got into some of these, started their own religious sects, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, all of those, and that's how the preacher, the black preacher, even today, we still have that problem, where among poorly educated or uneducated blacks, and I don't use the term African because not all blacks are from Africa, who looked to the preacher for their political advice. He even had the problem with other ethnics, Irish. I remember listening to an Irish priest talk to a new immigrant. I don't know if it was legal or not, but anyway, he asked him, "Father, I need some. I just registered to vote. Who should I vote for?" And the priest, in a thick Irish brogue, said, "Look at the list and look, check off all those fine Irish names." But then the guy was smart, and he says, "But I have a Jewish lawyer." And so the priest was nonplussed, and we were kind of surprised. What kind of bigotry is this? Anyway, this is what happened, and it still happens today, and we see a lot of the vote fraud in the black areas of the country where there's what they call passing around money. They pay off political operatives of both parties, pay off the preachers, the ministers in the black neighborhoods, black communities all around the country. In San Francisco, we have problems with Cecil Williams, who was connected to Jim Jones. He has Clyde Methodist, gets $1 million. Him and his wife get $1 million a year. We're going to discuss that further. We have Amos Brown, another self whose claim to fame is that he touched the garment of Nelson Mandela, and he was involved in a pedophile scandal involving young girls, and there's a question about Ethiopian boys, and there's $250,000 judgment against him and didn't get the publicity. Not only that, the newspapers endorsed him for public office. Now, had he been Father Amos Brown, a Roman Catholic priest, he would have been castigated, as he should have been. But, of course, there's a different or no standard or a low standard when it comes to looking at the I won't call them peccadilloes, but the violations of people who are preachers and political operatives who are not white or Roman Catholic. let's see. So among the other things that happened today, Henry VIII was expelled by Pope Clement. This was in 1533. And then 2 years later, Henry just said, "The hell with it. I'll start my own church, the Anglican Church, which is Catholics without the Pope, in essence." Sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish between the ceremonies. Now, when Elizabeth dies, there will be a new monarch, and I don't think Parliament's going to abolish the monarchy. It's a great business for the British. Anyway, in the coronation oath, there's a term, the new monarch, utters the phrase "defender of the faith." Now, this goes back to when Henry VIII was a very fervent, I won't say fervent because he whored around, but he was a great Catholic scholar, and he wrote treatises against Luther, and so the Pope gave him this title, defender of the faith, and then he kept it even though he left the faith. So that's the origin of that term that's used in the British coronation ceremony, defender of the faith. Now, here, getting back to religion, in 1740 in Russia, and we can never explain this, Jews were expelled by one of the Tsarinas. And, of course, a lot of the Jews, in fact, George Gershwin and other people of Jewish ethnicity or heritage, because a lot of them do not practice the ones that I know, for them, ham is Jewish bacon. They came from Russia, like George Gershwin, his ancestors, and I know a lot of people whose ethnic heritage was Jewish in Russia. And it's interesting, I have observed Russian Jews, people who have that heritage, who have emigrated to the United States, they eat pork. And some of them don't have their males circumcised. And in fact, this has not been reported, that the anti-circumcision movement in California, at least up here in the north, was started by a Jewish nurse named Miss London. And she's not related, Julie London, she's not related to the singer, nor is she the singer. Also in this date, in 1789, the Congress enacted started the formation of the United States Marine Corps. Now, the Marine Corps is not a separate unit like the United States Army, United States Air Force, United States Navy. It is a department of the Marine Corps. Also on this day in 1812, and this is also about the time when the United States was facing its first default, but In 1812, the United States invaded Canada, and every time American government sends up an army or generals to Canada, we send up the most, with the exception of Benedict Arnold, who almost conquered Quebec. We sent up our most incompetent generals. And in the War of 1812, it was a guy named General Henry Dearborn, and he was incompetent. So what do? They name Dearborn, Michigan after him, and then streets around the country, such as in Chicago, Dearborn Street. In 1916, in the Woodrow Wilson administration, Congress enacted the first grant in aid for state roads. But it was until Eisenhower's administration, after he was inaugurated in 1953, he started the Interstate Road Program, and he probably learned this from his service in World War II and in Germany, because one of the first things Hitler did was the Autobahn. And anybody who's been in Germany and driven on that road, there are no speed limits, and I drove on it when I'm in between school vacation. And I witnessed a BMW drive force a motorcyclist off the road and injure him. The people are crazy. But anyway, the first section of the interstate highway was completed in all places, Nebraska. And it takes about 8 hours to drive legally across the state. The middle of the state is the capital, Lincoln. And it starts at Omaha on the east and ends at Fort Sterling on the west, and then you go into Wyoming. And it's like all flat plains all the way, and maybe that's why they call it the Cornhusker State. Also, in 1954, we had, this is when the civil rights really started, and really got impetus. The White Citizens Council, first one, was set up in Indianola, Mississippi. In 1955, in the Eisenhower administration, Congress enacted the legislation or the law that American coinage would have "In God We Trust," although we wonder about that. And then also today, United States Air Force Academy was dedicated, and I think we should honor them because we had a problem last time with the this new system. So what I'm going to do is see if I can I'm trying to find this. Where is it? We should play this. Oh, darn it. No. I can't seem to get it here. I don't know. What is this? Here we go. The series Air Power, which was the second series put on TV by CBS to try to compete with Victory at Sea, which was the longest piece of music ever written, even longer than all of the Wagnerian Ring of the Nibelung operas, Die Rheingold, Siegfried, Die Walküre, Gerda Dameron. Richard Rogers, who was, I think, Russian-Jewish ethnicity, he studied to be a doctor, and he didn't like that, so he became a musician. And his daughter wrote Once Upon a Mattress, and his grandson also wrote a Broadway play. But here, Air Power, CBS decided to have the Philadelphia Orchestra and Norman Del Joyo composed this piece for their series on Air Power, and Walter Cronkite narrated it. So I'll play this clip in honor of the Air Force. Thank you.
German industrial area can be reached. There is a line in Germany beyond which we cannot cross without losses too great to bear. We need strength at long range, or else we must abandon the idea of strategic bombardment. We need new defenses against the attacks of German fighters.
You know, these were part of the lecture series that we did within in the school district, and we're going to end with our usual theme, since we're coming into political season, actually we still are, in the fight over the deficit. Also, there are other countries that have gone, have hit their incurred deficits. Spain had 13 defaults. England, back in the 15th, 16th century, defaulted. We have Germany, I think after World War I, when they were hit with all those unfairly, I think, forced to pay reparations when all those countries were involved in causing the war, the British, the French, the Russians were all power playing. So we'll end with our favorite thing. We'll be back Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have our guest, Patrick Butler, the foremost political, real journalist from Chicago. Here's what emphasizes a lot of the old-time politics.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Well, we'll be back Wednesday with more politics and poker and more clips from our lectures in the school district and from the resources, audio, video resources, Western Public Radio. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night. And this will stay up on the web, and you can download to your iPod and other enjoy elsewhere. Good night.